Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today. Atlanta Sports Radio, 92.9
The Game. It's a beautiful Tuesday. Boy, the weather is really, really nice right now. I heard tell it's going to be 75 tomorrow. Boom, boom, boom. 75 degrees in going to be the 6th of February. 75
I'll take it.
For a high, yeah.
That's why you moved to Georgia. For the weather.
Been one of those weird kind of winters. I mean, here we are in the dead of winter where, you know, normally, I mean, you could have, you know, 8 or 10 inches of snow tomorrow. Instead, it's going to be 75 degrees. Well, you never really know.
We still have time.
I know. Yeah, I'm March 13, right? March 13. That was always my snow date because of what happened in 93. March 13. Welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Falcons offseason really begins in earnest. Keanu Neal tweeting out yesterday, hey, everybody's 0-0. Everybody's 0-0. New season. Yeah, it is. He's right. And I know that I just got a tweet here from one of our regular tweeters who tweeted in, and I said, you know, Falcons offseason starts now, and Darnell Golden said, John, newsflash, we've been talking about the Falcons offseason since they lost to the Browns. Yeah, probably, and his point is taken, but I mean, I guess this is really kind of the beginning of everything, Hugh, because the offseason schedule now after the Super Bowl begins in earnest with the Combine starting on February 28th, the draft coming up. We'll have the spring meetings. Free agency opens March 13. So you got the combine on the 28th, free agency opening March 13. The league year opens, and then we'll have trades. Then we'll have the NFL draft in April. And so will the Falcons, short of the draft, make any major moves in this offseason to shore up those areas that were of such concern to them in the season that just concluded? You know, kind of looking down this list, Hugh, my answer is no, they aren't. And the reason for that is I just don't think there's anybody to get.
As far as free agents for what position now?
Well, if you start looking along the lines here, the biggest names of the lines, setting aside obviously Grady Jarrett, who's going to re-sign with the Falcons, are guys that are going to re-sign, the biggest name free agents. DeMarcus Lawrence, Dallas is not – let me ask you a direct question. Is Dallas going to let DeMarcus Lawrence go? Hugh?
I would not think so.
Is Houston going to let Jadeveon Clowney go?
I would not think so, but you never know, John. If they can't come to an agreement, they can tag him,
right?
But then you know it could be a Khalil Mack situation. You know when it's funny when the Khalil Mack thing happened. A lot of people we sat here. We even did it. We talked about how crazy that was, and how John Gruden made two other teams better. But, you know, talking to Tim Brown and talking to some other people that were, like, privy to the conversation, they were like Khalil Mack was never going to sign back there. He was never going to be there from what we were told. Now, I don't know how true that is, but from what we were told, it was one of those situations where he wasn't going to be. He didn't want to be a Raider. And there was no way that they were going to come to, you know, an agreement as far as the money was concerned because he was looking to see what Aaron Donald was going to get.
All right.
So it's one of those things. It could be – I'm not saying that this is the case, but if I'm Grady Jarrett, then I'm looking – I want to be paid like a Fletcher Cox or an Aaron Donald. Now, some people might say, well, he's not in the same caliber as those guys. I'll say to you this. I remember when I got traded to the Philadelphia Eagles, Willie McGinnis had just come off a Pro Bowl. Willie McGinnis was at the time was the highest paid – defensive end, because he played in the 3-4, I played in the 4-3, but we were comparable at the position. He was a little bit – he went in – I think he was in the league about a year or two before me, but he had just come off a Pro Bowl. And I remember asking my agent when I got traded, they was like, well, you know, we kind of have Philadelphia over a barrel, so they already traded for you. So you can basically ask for what you want. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that's a different situation, but the point is this. They asked me what I wanted, and I told them Willie McGinnis money. I said it just like that. And I got almost the same exact contract that Willie McGinnis got. So even though I hadn't been to a Pro Bowl and I didn't have the kind of season that he had, that's what the NFL is. So Grady Jarrett might come in, and for what he's done, he might want to be in that same neighborhood or in the cul-de-sac with those guys. And so that might be a problem for the Atlanta Falcons.
Well, presuming that it's not a problem, I think they're going to – by the way, I don't want anybody – I think the Falcons are going to get this done. But you start seeing these guys, DeMarcus Lawrence, Jadeveon Clowney, Trey Flowers at New England, Brandon Graham at Philadelphia, players of this caliber and this nature, teams aren't inclined to let them go so much. You see what the Rams have done with Aaron Donald over the last couple of years and tagging him twice in a row. If they tag him again, I think if they'd have to pay him quarterback money. So we'll see how that goes in the offseason. But and they may have to consider how good he is. Dee Ford says he wants to be back in Kansas City. He made that clear after that mistake that he made in the title game. Not whether he is or not. I'm just saying, now maybe one of these guys comes free. Earl Thomas wants out of Seattle. But when it comes to the defensive line, now there could be some offensive linemen you could get. There's some other defensive guys, but they're kind of dinged up. And that's the problem. You start looking at injuries. Like, for example, Daryl Williams. All right, Daryl Williams, great offensive right tackle of the Carolina Panthers. But he had a bad knee injury, Hugh. And I don't know if you want to take a chance on a guy that's had a reconstructed knee. Ziggy Ansah. I mean, we know there was a time that Ziggy Ansah as a rush end in Detroit was a dominating player, but he's battled a lot of injuries over the last couple of years.
Yeah,
it's
one of those things where some teams are going to they're going to offer him some money. And by the way, from this NFL, this top 50 free agent list that I'm looking at, it has Grady Jarrett ranked above Jadeveon Clowney as far as the top overall free agents. In top 10 overall free agents. So that's pretty impressive. Yes, AT. I'm looking at now everybody's list is different, but in this list they have Grady Jarrett number 5 and Jadeveon Clowney number 6. But I will say that's probably because Grady is an interior lineman with pass rush skills. And you know that's at a premium. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm saying, John, you look at what Grady has brought to the table. And you look at what the going rate for the D tackles that can pass rush is. You look at what Fletcher Cox brings to the table for the Philadelphia Eagles. You look at what Aaron Donald does. Even though his numbers are not comparable, or some people might argue that he's not in the class of Aaron Donald, I mean, if he goes out on the free agent market, he's going to command that kind of money. I mean, that's a fact. So the Falcons are in a position where they're going to have to make sure that whatever they give him, it might not be exactly what they got, but it has to be in that ballpark. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to pay him. You're definitely going to have to pay him.
Yeah, they're not going to be much of a hometown discount.
Mm-mm. Why would you? I mean, you know, this is the unfortunate thing about the situation that Grady's in. Is because, as you can see, like talking about how teams are structured, teams tend to do better and have more success when they do more cap-friendly deals. I mean, that's just the fact. And where quarterbacks tend to take a little bit less money and not get the max deal, you look mm-hmm, at what the right. Patriots have done and Tom Brady's deal. Unfortunately for Grady, he wasn't drafted really, really high, and he's looking for his big payday. This might be his only big payday. This might be his only one. So I can't be mad at him for trying to get as much money as he possibly can get. You know, and there's probably going to be some talk about how, you know, he should do this and how great he is for the city. He is. He's all of that. He's put himself in position to get a lot of money. And I don't think there's anything that says that he should take a hometown discount. You're talking about his philanthropic work and the work that he's doing in the community.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's huge.
Right.
I think the fact that he puts it down on the field is huge. With all that being said, I don't think I could actually – If it's me, I can't come to Grady and ask him, hey, bud, you know, you've done a great job for us. Hey, how about you take this discount for it? No, I put myself in position. This is what he's worked for his whole life. And unfortunately, what that's going to do is this, John. That's going to make somebody else expendable. And the name that I keep hearing is Robert Alford. That's the name that I keep hearing, that who's going to be expendable and guys that didn't perform to their contract. Ryan Schrader might be a guy that might have to take a pay cut in order to pay Grady Jarrett. Now, I know when you break it down like that, it sounds like that's cold-blooded. But, hey, Grady's put himself in position. He's put himself in position to get everything that he has coming to him, and I don't see why he should take a discount for that.
Right, so Grady Jarrett is certainly a priority, so is Julio Jones in terms of your own free agents. And then you start looking at the other free agents, and I'm not sure what kind of a big, bold move. Now, it's not to say the Falcons won't going to make moves. They're going to make moves. You know, whether they make a big bold move kind of depends on who's on the market. The biggest names in the market tend to be available right now, tend to be positions that the Falcons don't need. And that's what we're talking about this morning is the preseason, as the regular season and the postseason end, and we get into the offseason of the NFL, the Falcons' moves. Major moves, again, it's not like when they got Alex Mack and Mohamed Sanu a couple of years ago. They're just really, or when they got Dontari Poe even, I'm not sure who's going to be available on the market. I think most teams are going to be very protective of their interior linemen on both sides of the ball. So that means a lot of quarterbacks, Nick Foles, Joe Flacco, Teddy Bridgewater, wide receivers that we could talk about, running backs, certainly Le'Veon Bell. And, yes, I would think Tevin Coleman. I would not expect Tevin Coleman. I mean, maybe it shocks me to you that he's back. I don't expect Tevin Coleman to be back in a Falcons uniform.
Me neither. That's just not what I'm expecting right now because, again, Tevin Coleman's going to be another guy who is going to go out in the free agent market, and they're probably going to offer him a lot of money. There's no doubt in my mind. But I will say this. Last year when free agency started, there was a little bit of a lull. It wasn't hot and heavy and fast and furious like it has been in the past. So it might be one of those situations where guys might have to wait a little while before they get paid, but I still think that he's going to get paid.
You know, the Falcons have other issues and other decisions to make. You know, so some interesting ones, like, for example, backup quarterback. Would Matt Schaub take a pay cut to stay as the backup quarterback? They may have to offer him. He made $4 million a year last year for a backup quarterback, and that's probably about right. But if you're starting to think about grooming somebody, is that something you consider? You know, will the Falcons do that? You'll have to make some decisions about some of the other veterans, like a Derek Shelby or Bruce Irvin. Is Andy Levitre healthy enough to bring back again? When Andy Levitre, Hugh, has been healthy, he's been a good player. His problem isn't he just can't make what's the old club from the tub.
Can't make the club in the tub.
Right, and that's exactly what he's doing. I mean, if Andy stays healthy, you're fine at that left guard spot. He's a good, solid left guard.
Yeah, but you're in a position now, John, where this is the issue. You're going to be looking for some relief, some money relief, some monetary relief.
Right, true.
Especially since you're about to redo Julio's deal. You're about to do Grady's deal. So you're going to be looking for some monetary relief from somewhere in order to stay in the black if you're the Atlanta Falcons. So you're going to have to start looking at trimming the fat somewhere. And the bad part about that is, it's not a bad part because it's one of those things where if I'm a player and I didn't perform this year, this is the worst year that I could pick not to be a performer. Because now you got coaches going through that tape looking for some monetary relief. Like you going through that tape and you looking at it like you trying to trim the fat. You looking at it like where can I save some money? I mean, I know that's a bad way of looking at it, but that's basically what you're doing. Like you're going through the film and you're looking at where you could trim the money and probably get some younger players in there to do a better job than the guy did that ain't getting paid. Like Ryan Schrader, if I'm him, I'm a little nervous. I'm a little nervous at home because you didn't have a good season. You lost your job at one point. If I'm Rocky Alford, when my name's being called a lot and people are looking at me, I'm a little nervous. If I'm True Font, I'm a little nervous. I'm a little nervous because there might be a situation where they might ask for some money back. Somebody might ask for some money back. So that's the position that you're in because you're looking, you've dispersed a lot of money on that offensive side of the ball, a lot of bread. And now, you know, you're talking about the young tight end who just Austin Hooper, who just came back from the Pro Bowl. You're going to be looking at paying him pretty soon.
Not only that, but you're going to have to look at the tight end position at large with Logan Paulson and Eric Sauber to make some decisions in terms of having – I think that the tight end's in a position, for example, that the Falcons – with Mike Mularkey now coaching the tight ends, could upgrade. I think they could, and I'm not saying that they would get rid of Austin Hooper. I'm saying you bring in somebody else who can be a downfield catching threat. Paulson and Sauber are not that. And so another tight end who could catch. So, right, the Falcons have got a lot of decisions to make here, which is one of the reasons that as these players come off injury, and I know some fans are a little bit, in their feelings about the fact that, you know, if you read the power ranking polls or, you know, some of the predictions that are going on, the Falcons kind of are middle of the pack in everybody's poll for next year. Ah, yeah, the Falcons are the 17th best team in the league, the 18th best team in the league. And Falcons fans are going, no, we're not. Well, until proven otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, that's about right. You look at, because, John, you have a lot of, you're probably going to have a lot of holes you're going to have to fill. And to be totally honest, there's going to be some new position players on the field when you go into this season, whether you want to admit to that or not. There has to be. You can't go into the season with some of the same cast of characters. Not saying that there's going to be a wholesale change, but I could see the more we get into this offseason, I can see some new faces being on this Falcons defense and offensive lines.
No, I could too as well. No question. You know, the draft is going to be important for them. We know that. ESPN has come out and made some bold predictions about the 2019 season. All right? They did that the day after the Super Bowl. The question is, do you agree with their predictions? We'll give you half a dozen or so and ask you if you agree.
In anywhere in the world, just go to radio.com and stream us anytime.
Using the internet.
Stay connected to Atlanta sports 24/7. Only at radio.com and the radio.com app. Streaming live now. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
It is amazing if you think about it. It is never, ever out of season. Ever out of season. I mean, the 2 days after the Super Bowl and I don't know, many months to training camp, we're still talking about the National Football League. Because it's 24/7, 365. That's why they have their own network, I guess. I mean, it never goes away. Yeah, we got Good Morning Football on today. I mean, for crying out loud. Which is, by the way, is a pretty good show. I have to give them credit for it. John and you in the mornings as we continue with the whole fam family today, Daryl, Wendy, and AT. A lot to get into. A couple of NFL notes that we should pass along. Cincinnati Hugh has a new head coach, coming over to the Rams and the Patriots, now done. A couple of their guys could move on. Zach Taylor, here you go. Cincinnati reaching for its Sean McVay in Zach Taylor, the Rams quarterback coach, taking over for Marvin Lewis. See how this works. Zach's a young guy, and he is 35, and he has ascended rapidly through the ranks and makes a big jump from a Rams quarterback coach to the head coach of the Bengals.
Congratulations to him, man. The last two spots were filled for the head coaching jobs, and hopefully, you know, it'll be something different for the Cincinnati Bengals, the team that has not been to the haven't had a playoff win in a long, long time. Long, long time.
I just noticed that he's expected to hire Raiders quarterback coach Brian Callahan as his OC. I went, oh, yeah, Zach Taylor played for Bill Callahan. Yeah, okay. Bill Callahan was his college coach. I tried to wipe that out of my memory. That is not a memory Nebraska fans want to have, is Bill Callahan. Okay.
Trying to wipe him out of my memory.
Yeah. Raiders fans don't like that either. You and I have that in common, Daryl. the Bill Callahan. Oh, my God, Bill Callahan. Brian Flores has moved on, and if you can't beat him, hire him. The Miami Dolphins have decided to steal Brian Flores, who did a remarkable job in whatever capacity he actually had with the New England Patriots. But he was kind of the guy behind the defense, I guess.
Well, this is the thing. Like, I was listening to the Amy Lawrence show this morning coming in, and they said he was a linebacker's coach. From my understanding, during the Super Bowl, they called him the defensive coordinator, game planner. So, in essence, that's a defensive coordinator in my mind. But anyway, semantics, I guess. He's the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, which I thought was kind of weird because he said he had to go to the right place and have to make it his right decision. You had those cuts? Yes. Play the cuts there, Daryl, please.
Told, you know, every team this, look, if our beliefs aren't aligned, then don't hire me, because if they're not aligned, then it's not going to work. Obviously, there's some core values, core beliefs that, you know, I would take from New England. I would say the number one thing there is putting the team first. I think that's organizationally, from an alignment standpoint, what I talked about earlier, that's very important to me.
Well, Brian Flores is going to have a tall order. It's been a minute since the Miami Dolphins were relevant.
No, I think that's the story that most people are missing, is the fact that Coach Belichick let him go in the division, a division that they've basically been – they've owned forever. To let him go in the division, that's pretty telling. That, you know what, hey, Brian, I applaud you for this chance that I've given you, but you know what, hey, you still ain't – I'm still the big dog. He did that to Eric Mangini, too, and let Eric Mangini go to the Jets.
Wasn't he considered Eric Mangenius for a while?
Well, yeah, because he got him to the playoffs that one.
Right. That Mangenius label didn't last very long, did it?
Well, yeah, because he stabbed. Him and Bill Belichick had a falling out about something. I can't remember exactly what it was, but I think it had something to do with cheating or the assumption that the
Patriots cheat.
The allegation that they were cheating or something like that.
Nobody's ever alleged that they've cheated. Hey, ESPN's made a couple of big, bold predictions. Arthur has them. Arthur, you've got a list of these predictions, do you not, for the 2019 season?
Yes, I do, John. So let's get rolling with it, guys. The Texans, will they sign Le'Veon Bell to a deal that eclipsed the Rams' Todd Gurley?
So ESPN saying the Texans are going to sign Le'Veon. Does that make sense to you? I don't know where he's going to go, Hugh. I don't know. That sounds like a pretty big thing. That's a pretty bold statement. I don't know where he's going to end up. Texas is where the ESPN says. What do you say?
They were talking about this morning that Pittsburgh still might transition. So I'm going to say right now, that's the talk in Pittsburgh, that he's going to stay in Pittsburgh.
These are ESPN's predictions, some of their predictions for 2019. That's one.
Because wasn't that one time his future was maybe pegged for Indianapolis? Because
yeah,
Indianapolis,
that was another one, right?
Load of money.
I heard Jets as well. Hmm. So it's hard to say.
Well, they also predict that Antonio Brown will lead the league in receptions, but not with the Steelers, with the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, why would the 49ers want Antonio Brown unless Garoppolo is going to be healthy?
Because him and Jerry Rice have become fast friends. I'm telling you what I read. Like, he's all about the GOAT right now. He's all about the GOAT, being with the GOAT right now. So, yeah, they're fast friends.
All right, well, you know, he's got to make sure that he's got a quarterback out there first, doesn't he?
Jimmy Garoppolo.
As long as Garoppolo is healthy, right.
The NFL is establishing – will the NFL establish some sort of video review system that pertains to penalties in lieu of the Chiefs and Saints playoff losses?
I'm going to say yes. Yes, indeed.
Now, I'm going to ask you why you say that, Hugh, because we sat there and listened to Roger Goodell's press conference, and he really didn't seem to give any suggestion. You'd think the competition committee is going to have to make that decision, and he
didn't
sign a
recommendation? Because I don't trust Roger Goodell. I don't trust anything that the NFL says. Listen, love the NFL to death. Was part of the Brotherhood. Uh-huh. Proud to be a part of the Brotherhood. But when have they ever told you exactly what they were going to do? When has the NFL ever told you what they're exactly going to do?
Yeah,
so I always go back to moving the goalposts in. And when they told us they were thinking about doing it. And they did it and didn't tell nobody. They just did it.
Right, so the ESPN says the NFL will establish some sort of video review system that pertains to penalties, and my answer is yes, they will. And I think what they'll end up doing, it might be very limited. It might be final 2 minutes of playoff games.
Do you think we will do that from each particular game site, or will that emanate from New York City?
No, from the game site. I could see them doing it for playoff games in the final 2 minutes of each half or something like that. Mm-hmm. Because in the final 2 minutes, they have booth review, right? So they just expand booth review in the final 2 minutes to include certain fouls. Yes. And I think if they do that, they're opening a Pandora's box. I tend to agree, Hugh, with the commissioner, with what Rich McKay told us. And the reason I tend to agree with it is because, again, you see, and Saints fans, they don't want to know this. You know, they're willfully ignorant of this. The other angle on the play, which is from behind Drew Brees, okay, where he's throwing the ball, and it's readily evident that if you use video review, that two penalties should have been called on the New Orleans Saints. There's a blatant hold that wasn't called, and there was a blatant hands to the face on the Saints offensive line that also was not called. So I'm just saying. But I think, yes, they'll do something.
Yeah, you're just saying. Hey, they also indicate that two new playoff teams will be the Browns, the Vikings, the Titans, and those 49ers. Do you believe those four teams will be participating in next year's playoff race?
Well, the Browns, I think everybody's thinking they could win the division, Hugh.
I think they'll be in the playoffs. I don't know about winning the division. I think they'll be in the playoffs, though.
Vikings, I could see making the playoffs. Certainly the Titans. I don't know about the 49ers. I mean, they're, I guess, presuming Antonio Brown goes to the 49ers. I think at the moment that division is, you know, Arizona Cardinals are the worst team in the NFL. You know, I think Seattle's still a pretty good team. So I don't see the 49ers making the playoffs, no.
And finally, their prediction lists this. It's kind of sort of a bit of their prediction from this past year, but it didn't prove out. They indicate that the Saints will defeat the Texans in Super Bowl 54 in Miami. Do you agree?
Yeah, last year they said the Saints would be the Steelers. I want them to keep putting the kibosh on the Saints. No, of course I don't agree. I mean, of course, I'm supposed to agree that the Saints are going to win the Super Bowl? No, I don't agree with that.
I think they'll be in the conversation.
I hope
not. I mean, you're talking about the there's nothing to say that they won't be there. And, you know, they're talking about bringing in Dez Bryant. Like, well, keeping Dez Bryant and letting him be a part of that team. I think the Saints will probably be on a mission next year.
I think John just wanted me to ask these questions so he can poke at me some more. That's all.
Okay. I think you had your chances the last 2 years, and you had miracled out, and then you gagged a 23-20 lead with under 2 minutes to go at home. That's what I think.
There's something I really want to say to you, but I won't.
Oh, you just say 28-3, 28-3, because it's
no,
all you got.
That's not what I was going to say. Okay. No.
No. No. I mean, no. Saints and Texans? I mean, it'd be the interesting. That's one franchise that the Texans that, you know, I'm not really sure that I fully quite understand yet. They seem to be like right on the edge of like a breakthrough at times. And Lord knows I love Deshaun Watson and a healthy J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney. They have Hugh. That team has really nice pieces.
Yeah, they played the 1 year. I forgot. I think it was a couple years ago where they played the New England Patriots in the playoffs. They had them on
beat.
The ropes.
Yeah,
yeah, but they couldn't score. They couldn't score.
And it really hurt them. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins is a hell of a player, but it really hurt them to lose Will Fuller last year with that injury when he went out that deep threat to stretch the field for Deshaun Watson. Look, Texans are a good team. That's a tough division. The South division and both the AFC and the NFC are tough divisions. And that AFC South, I mean, so tough that Jacksonville had the season they had the year before and then reverted last year to what they were. I think some of that was internal. And the rise of the Indianapolis Colts with Andrew Luck and the Titans are going to be a team to contend with. I think that's a very difficult division to come out of as a division champion. But everybody's going to make their, you know, everybody's going to ride on what is the latest, greatest thing. I mean, everybody's got the Rams and Chiefs. Oh, the Rams and the Chiefs are the favorites again next year. And there's no reason to go against them. The teams that were just there, right? The Saints, the Rams, the Chiefs, the Bears, the Patriots. They're going to be the favorites going in. But as we know, Hugh, from the NFL, what happens is that there's always kind of new teams. Like, for example, does it click in Green Bay that they get healthy and with their new head coach, things work for Aaron Rodgers and suddenly the Packers are the division champions? It could.
That's a possibility. And you know, every year in the NFL, that there's always some new team that rises up out of the ashes and makes it to the playoffs. That's just how it is. It's always like that. You got to kind of have – the only constant has been in the playoffs is the New England Patriots, to be totally honest.
Right.
That's about
the
about everybody else there. You know, the Miami Dolphins were in the playoffs 1 year. The Buffalo Bills, they ain't make it. So, yeah, they're probably the only constant in the NFL right now.
Rams offensive line played every snap of every game this year. Falcons offensive line a couple of years ago, Super Bowl, every snap of every game. That's all you need to know. That's where you have to stay the healthiest. Hey, college football and high school football fans, signing day is tomorrow. Midday show is going to be at Stars and Stripes in Decula from 10 to 2 with Rick and John. Teaming up with Score Atlanta, the folks from Score Atlanta bring you the most extensive coverage of the signing day in Georgia. That's 10 to 2 in Decula at Stars and Strikes with Rick and John tomorrow on National Signing Day. When we get back, February, and it's sweeps month for television. Why the Super Bowl's in February? You know that? Man, there's a lot going on Sports Radio 99 The Game. February the 5th. And February is, of course, from an old TV guy, sweeps month. I don't know. I wonder how important it is anymore. I think it's still important, but used to be everything was about February. That was, you know, you could have your November, your May, your July books, but that February book, man, that was what was everything. That's why the Super Bowl was in February. And a lot of must-see TV sports in February. That's the Daytona 500. You'll have, of course, you know, the Atlanta United is going to be for us must-see TV. The Atlanta Braves in spring training, must-see TV. The Hawks could well be must-see TV with big games now coming back home to face teams like Toronto on Thursday and the Lakers coming in next Tuesday and playing as well as they are, Hugh. That's going to be some must-see TV.
Unless you're lucky enough to go to the game. I tell you what, that's what we're going to find out later on today if we're lucky enough to go to the game, because pretty soon that Hawks, it's going to be a hot ticket, a very, very hot ticket, especially with the way that they're playing right now. You know, they're coming off from this road trip winning more than they lost. A lot of people are probably going to be excited to see the Hawks. And then this is the second – I think this is the second matchup with the Toronto Raptors from the first time when they got kind of handled a little bit when Kawhi was D'ing up Trae Young a little bit. So, yeah, this is the second time they get to see him, and they've grown a little bit since then. So it's going to be a pretty good matchup.
Yeah, Lloyd Pierce has done a nice job, as Tanisha was telling you. Hawks won last night, 137-129, made 23-pointers. When the Hawks shoot well, this is the team that Lloyd Pierce wants. They're going to be a three-point shooting team. They're going to be an exciting team to watch. I mean, they scored 137 points last night. That's lighting it up. They had a 35-point quarter, a 38-point quarter. There's 76 points in the second half alone, 38 and 38. I mean, this team can shoot. They're going to be a tough out. I mean, suddenly they're not a bad club, 12 and 12 in their last 24. But there's going to be a lot of must-see TV. I got to tell you, the Maven has gotten me into this True Detective. Do you watch this show at all, Hugh? True Detective, do you see
it? Wait a minute, is it in its third season?
Yes.
It's in its third season. I watched the first season because it was Woody Harrelson and
Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah. And I was trying to watch the second season with Colin Farrell.
Right.
And I kind of fell off a little bit.
Well, so yeah, that was my thing.
I kind of fell off a little bit because Colin was off the hook a little bit. I need to get back into that because I want to watch that second season before I get into the third season. But I heard it was pretty good.
All right. So the first season was great, right? I mean, I thought it was just great, those two. I thought the second season was awful. And you don't have to watch. By the way, they're standalone seasons, so you don't have to watch. It's not like you have to watch all three. They're not in succession. They're totally different stories in different time periods.
Yeah, but
the third season is really good.
I'm kind of like the type of person that I want to see the old season before I look at the new season. And that's one of the reasons why I was kind of watching The Handmaid's Tale. But that's kind of hard. Like, I guess you really have to be into that one to watch that one.
Yeah, if Mahershala Ali does not win the Emmy for acting in this third season True Detective, they should throw the awards away. I mean, he's that good.
So you've watched every episode?
No, we're seven in so far. The season's not over yet.
Okay.
And so, I mean, but yeah, I highly, highly, highly recommend season one of True Detective. You want to skip season two? I watched it. Wish I hadn't. It's just, it's totally disjointed. It makes no sense.
I tell you what else I'm kind of excited about. And this was something that I started watching on, it was on the Fire Stick, and me and Daryl talked about it. The Teen Titans, which was pretty good. And I know that's not probably the kind of genre of movies that you want to watch, but this one is not the kids show Teen Titans. This is more of an adult presentation of Teen Titans. But they got another spinoff coming in February 15th. It's called The Doom Patrol.
You mean like Adult Swim kind of version?
This is more violent. If you like violence, then you'll like this. If you like action and a deep-rooted storyline, it's even though it's a superhero movie, it's really, really good. And what's coming out is The Doom Patrol, which is a spinoff. If you watched all the episodes, I don't know how many episodes you watched, Dale, but if you watched all the episodes, they had an episode where one of the main characters, Beast Boy, he had to hang out with the Doom Patrol, and they kind of built their characters a little bit and told you a little bit about their background. They're like a bunch of misfits that all have these different kind of powers and stuff, and they're about to bring out that aspect of it. And if it's anything like the Teen Titans, it's going to be pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of great TV that's out there, and February gives you all those great, you know, the debuts, and you're looking for the next big thing, and, you know, I know that there's certain shows that I watch, like Ozark, for example. I'm watching Counterpart. I don't know if anybody else is watching Counterpart. Interesting show, Counterpart.
Counterpart, what is it about?
It's J.K. Simmons. It's about the fact that they discover dual worlds. There's two of everybody. There's two worlds at the same time. They went divergent, but everybody's got a double.
What channel is that on?
Amazon Prime. No, I take that back. It's on Stars. I take that back. It's not Stars. You know, speaking it's Outlander, of Stars. Outlander and the counterpart.
I'll tell you
Sunday
what, speaking of Stars, American Gods is about to come back on Stars.
You know, I haven't seen American Gods, but I've heard good things about that.
It's pretty good. I had caught up with the first season. I had re-caught it with the first season. It's about to come back. What's the main character's name? Is Shadow Moon. I forgot his real name, but it's Shadow Moon. And it's about he's running around with the God of Thunder, Thor. No, Odin, excuse me, Odin, and how they're trying to get the old gods to battle with the newer gods, you know, the gods of computers and things of that nature, the things that we worship nowadays. So that was pretty interesting.
You know what I always thought was kind of interesting is I always used to say when I was growing up, because I don't like horror films, and so I don't like gory stuff or super violent stuff, and yet all the shows I like tend to be really violent.
I can't watch.
Like Ozark has got some violent gore. And so does, like, you know, I mean, Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad had some pretty violent gore. Goliath had some pretty violent gore.
I just found out Atlanta season 3 won't be taped this year.
It's not being taped here?
Why not? Not this year.
They're just taking a year off?
It's a lot of writing going on right now.
Oh, you know what?
Because Donald is doing a lot of things.
Yeah, he's doing a lot of stuff. A lot of those actors from that show have got other spinoffs of things.
They have to because you got to eat.
Yeah, the show was so good and so well received. You're going to get offers. That's you know, isn't that the problem? You find a show that you really like, and it becomes a big hit. And the problem is, it becomes a big hit. And when it becomes a big hit, it's not necessarily the major characters that get stuff. Like Mahershala Ali really kind of cut his teeth on House of Cards. I mean, his character there was so good that he kind of blew up. You know, and so he was off of that show, and it was a big loss to the show, even though he wasn't, you know, right there at the top of the billing. Is you lose those support characters that you don't realize how important they are to the show until they're gone.
I just found out from my man Chris Morris and Rich Homie Juan that Doom Patrol is being shot here in Atlanta, which makes a little bit of sense because did you see the commercial with 2 Chainz in it? That was a part of Doom Patrol. That was a part of because you had Brendan Fraser. Brendan Fraser plays.
What's he
in Doom
been
Patrol.
Doing for the last 10 years?
He's playing in Doom Patrol.
He'd been gone for a while. I haven't seen him in a movie in a long time. Yeah, I you know what? I saw him in one of those. He was in one of those films. He was like older and heavier, and I was like, man, Brendan.
He's heavy. He's TV heavy, John. You got to think that TV adds to your pounds to you at least.
Yeah.
So he's not TV ready.
In my case, it added 40, but that's just me. What I say, and I'm sticking to it. The NFL season is a wrap, and we're asking you about what's next for you. That's been kind of our conversation of the day, and we're asking you on our Twitter right now, what's next up on your plate in the busy month of February, and what are we looking forward to the most? Something that might surprise you next with John and you on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.